Judy, he hasn't come on yet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm good.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Koa. Another Koa. Gedula Chemita Pati Sevira Alephet Gimel Yutat Sadi Babel Rinat Amchasag Benu Aharenu No Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yasudha Divavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharem Rakame Sitkatha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Taditaf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Bero Tucha Nael Adatah Et Kufet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geye Lamcha Penei Zofre Kiddushatah Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmat Siakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tadiyutah We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohewahe, Adonai Yohewahe, El Rahum Vechanun, Erech Apayin, Virav Chesed Ve'emet, Nose chesed la'alafim, Nose awon wafesha, V'chata'av v'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parasha Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Urchimu Tilu Tilu Urchimu Le'achta L'shem Yudei Bavavhe V'Yichuda Shilim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konenei aleinu maasei yadeinu konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tameinan Bekucha Berichu Koma Diaved Ve'eila Wittata Kolaihu Kishot Vyovada Dikshot Leila Mila Bialma Divaye Varnash Ludat Yaleya Mineyaulan Haga Beyakalana Dehaku Ovada Big Shot Inun Wikola Itsiri Bialma. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisam ti makom liami li Israel untati vishatam pata willow yergas od willow yosifu vene avla la anoto ka asher barishona. We will now study the 72 names, utilizing the tool of saying each name, each letter of each name, out loud in sequence with its root vowel. Wahe wayo layo sayote alape mehe shila lahe aka aka heta. Eza yo ala da la awa he he ya. Yo za la me be he, he re yo he ko me. La awa ka la yo, la wa wa pe he la. Nu la ha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa. Nu ta he he ya a, yo re ta shi a he. Re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ka wa wa la yo la he sa a la re yo a shi la me yo he. Wa he wa da nu yo, he he shi a me me. Nu nu wa nu yo ta, be be he, pe wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la, he re he, me tsa re. Wa me be yo he he, a nu wa me he yo. Ta me be me nu ko, a yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me, he yo yo. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me. Me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta. He he yo anu da la he wa he me a. Yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me. La wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa. Nu yo he he shi ya yo re ta shi ya he. Re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da. Anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. He shi he me ha ha wa wa la yo yo he. Sa a la re yo a a la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la te be se me za re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. Ta he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. Amen. I'm on the phone call, the other class, later. Sorry for the interruption. The Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 15th day of Elul, which is the full moon day. Rabbi Moshe Al-Shachar, Rabbi Chanoch Agus of Vilna, Rabbi Yaakov Kopel, a Chassid, Ben Rabbi Nehemiah Feivel, and the Tzaddikim who will leave as of this evening when sun sets, the 16th day of Elul, Rabbi Yitzhak HaKohen Shapiro, Rabbi Abraham Avigdor Nochem of Strykov, Ben Rabbi Yaakov Yitzhak Dan Landau, and Rabbi Yehi Shinior. I'll be reading Psalm 27 for those who have not yet read it today or for those who want to read it a second time. Psalm 27.
L'David Adonai Ori Veishi Mimira Adonai Maos Chaye Mimi Echad Mikrov alai merein le'ekol et besari Arai v'ovaili Pema kashlu v'nafalu Im tachane alai machane Lo yira libi Im takum alai milchama b'zot hani botea achat shalti me'et Adonai ota avakesh shivti b'veit Adonai kol yemei chayei lachazot Benoam Adonai uvaker v'hekalo kitz b'neini v'suko v'yom ra'a yastireini. V'seter achalo v'tzur yeroma meini V'yata yaru roshi al yavai Sevivotai v'yezbecha V'achalu o zivche Tirua ashira v'azamra l'Adonai Shema Adonai Koli evra v'chaneni v'aneni lecha amar libi bakshu panai et panecha Adonai avakesh al teaster panecha mimeni al tatpea avdecha Ezrati Aita Alti Cheni Wealte Azweni Elohe Yishi Ki Avivimi Azavuni Vadonai Aspeni Horeni Adonai Darkecha Unteni Biorach mishor lima'an shorerai al tideni b'nefesh sarai ki kamu v'yadei sheker v'peach v'amas lulei he'emlanti lirot b'tuvah Adonai. Be'eretz Chaim Taweh El Adonai Chazak Vayametz Libecha. Be'kaveh El Adonai. And now for the Ma meditation. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Vav, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Vav, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Vav, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud. Yud hey, Yud hey, Vav, Yud hey, Vav, hey, Yud, Yud hey, Yud hey, Vav, Yud hey, Vav, hey. Today's class is continuing our preparation for the High Holidays. You will find the handout on the unique Astrological Times link, which title is Tishrei Lessons from Kosher Torah. When you get to this handout, when it opens up into the PDF file, scroll down to page 39, and our subject today is Avinu Malkeinu. And we're going to be discussing Avinu Malkeinu from the frame of Kabbalah. I'll give you a few minutes to open up the handout. I recommend you read the various components of these lessons as you prepare for Rosh Hashanah. I will begin to read. During these days of Teshuvah, we have a special addition to our daily prayers entitled Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, Avinu, Malkeinu, our King. These words introduce a number of requests that Hashem should forgive our sins, bless us with a good new year, and many more desires. The question to ask is, why is Hashem referred to both as our Father and our King? Why not just refer to Him as either one or the other? A simple answer can be that as we know, Hashem acts toward us as both a loving Father and as a stern King, whichever we merit. Being that we do not know our merit before Hashem, it is wise for us to refer to Him by both titles. While this answer is true from the Peshat, the simple point of view, the secrets of the Kabbalah reveal to us a more profound reason, one that has much personal relevance to how our prayers are heard and answered. To understand the Kabbalah of Avinu Malkeinu, let us turn to a small prayer in Rosh Hashanah, in the Musaf. That's the additional prayer. Entitled, Hayom Harat Olam, and its Kabbalistic meaning. After the blowing of the shofar in the Rosh Hashanah Musaf prayers, we recite the following short prayer. Today is the birth of the world. Today, He, Hashem stands up to judge all the creatures of the world. We are therefore we are before you either like children or like servants. If we are like children, be merciful to us as a father is to his children. If we are as servants, then we raise our eyes and depend upon you until you will favor us and bring our judgment into light. In the Kabbalistic Siddur of the Rashash, a sage who lived in the late 1700s and 1800s, the following comments are added to the above prayer. We are before you like children. These are they who merit a naran, a soul. From the realm of Atzilut. They are the children of Zerantin and the Nukva. Or like servants. These have a soul from the realms of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. And they are called slave, servant, and handmaid. As we see, those called children have souls that emanate from a higher source than those called servants. The explanation of this is as follows. Due to the sin of Adam and our own, the souls of collective Israel fell from their original celestial heights in the spiritual realm known as Atzilut. Atzilut is the realm of pure holiness. Souls emanate from this level are in constant state of union with Hashem. Such souls are thus called Hashem's children. The Kabbalistic appellation of Zerantin and the Nukva is used to express the unification of the Sephirot Tiferet and Malchut. Atzilutic souls emanate from this source. Although Adamic souls have fallen from the Atzilutic heights, Hashem, in his mercy, has provided for us his holy Torah. The observance of the mitzvot therein serves to purify our souls and enable them to be restored to their Atzilutic heights. However, our souls go through a long and arduous process along the path of return to Hashem. We compound the fall of Adam with our own sins, entrapping our souls in the lower worlds that include within them various levels of evil, contamination, and defilement. These lower worlds are called Bria, the realm of thought, Yetzirah, the realm of emotion, and Asiya, the realm of the physical. Whenever we sin in thought, word, feelings, or deeds, our souls become ensnared in these lower worlds and the forces of evil that are present within them. Impure souls cannot be called children because they do not possess the purity of the Sephirotic parents, Tiferet, which is Zerantin, and Malchut, which is the Nukva. Those souls still going through the process of purification are referred to as servants and not children. It must be remembered that souls themselves are composite entities consisting of five general parts: the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, and the yechida. And each of those potential five levels, this is an unwritten commentary, each of those potential five levels have 248 parts, as well as 365 sinews. And all of these combinations is referred to as a composite entity. Each of these soul levels can in turn reincarnate separately from the others and rectify at its own pace and speed. Therefore, each and every human soul has within it elements of differing levels of rectification and purity. Each of us might have within us an element that indeed has succeeded to return to the absolutic heights. All the while, the other elements of our composite soul struggle to be free from our earthly containment and our earthly contamination. On Rosh Hashanah, we are each judged as individuals. Yet each of us is still a composite being, and Hashem judges each and every element within our souls individually. Therefore, during these days of Teshuvah, and it's referring to the 10 days of Teshuvah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, during these days of returning to Hashem, we approach Him in the spirit of utmost honesty and spiritual truth. But we don't know, are we children or are we servants? And are which of our parts are children and which of our parts are servants? We don't have exact knowledge of this. And this is one of the reasons that we refer to Avinu Malkeinu, our two levels. Yet with regards to the still impure attributes of soul within us, these are still ensnared in the lower worlds that possess both good and evil. Such souls and those attributes within each individual soul are called a servant. Corresponding to this, we call Hashem Malkeinu, our King. Hashem behaves as a merciful father to those with purified souls, and He acts as a stern king to those with impure souls. Children receive His full grace. Servants are treated in according to their merits. Each of us has within our souls absolutic and non-absolutic elements. Thus, when Hashem comes to interact with us, He acts in relationship to the exact levels of balance within our individual souls. The more we shine His pure and holy light, the more we are His children. Thus, the more we receive His mercy. The more we shine our holy light and serve ourselves, continuing in the path of our path of our faulty beliefs, feelings, and deeds, we are called servants. Thus, the amount of mercy shown is less, and the amount of stern judgment shown is more. Avinu Malkeinu is written for us to remind us of our composite spiritual makeup. With every supplication to Hashem, with every recital of the words Avinu Malkeinu, we remind ourselves that there is definitely much good within us. We have within us the element that makes us worthy to be called a child, worthy to call Hashem Avinu our Father. Whereas at the same time there is still impurity within us that necessitates that we call ourselves servants and thus entitle us only to call Hashem Malkenu, our king. We should be proud every time we can call Hashem Avinu, and we should be humbled every time we are required to call Hashem Malkenu. Yet in both attributes, we must surrender ourselves to the divine service and the heavenly cause. In this way, we elevate the element of servant within us and transform it into the child. In this way, we solicit Hashem's blessing for life, for liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in this coming new year. May Hashem bless us all that we rise from being servants and all become worthy children of our Father in heaven. May we all be inscribed in the Book of Life for all good things. And may we all say, Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm now going to change the handout and continue from last week. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix or on the Unique Astrological Times. On the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the handout is in row 8 in the second column from the left. The title of the handout is Advanced Teshuvah. When that opens up, it is the same as we did last week. It's the teachings of the Advanced Teshuvah classes, and what we are studying today is the Egarot Teshuvah from the Tanya, class 2, which starts at the end of chapter 1, where we left off last week. The end of chapter 1 of the letter of Teshuvah from the Tanya. Now the mitzvah of repentance, of Teshuvah, as required by the Torah, is simply the abandonment of sin. Kedata begamira peret gimel disan hedrein uvahushin mishpat sof seyemin lad leanan adut. Where it is stated that if a potential witness simply abandons and does not repeat the transgression that had previously disqualified him, he is once again able to testify. Dehainu shegimor belevo belev shalem leval yashuv o lekisla lemarot demalkuto yitbarach. This means that he must resolve in perfect sincerity never again to revert to folly, to rebel against Hashem's rules. Velo yavor o mitzvot ha-melech tas v'shalom hein b'mitzvot asa hein b'mitzvot lo taseh. He will never again violate the king's orders, God forbid, neither a positive mitzvah nor a prohibition. Zaho v'akir pirush l'ashon teshuvah l'ashuv el Hashem b'kol levo v'chol nafsho. This is the basic meaning of the term teshuvah. To return to God with all of one's heart and soul, to serve Him, and to observe all His mitzvot. Kimo shikatu yazo resha dirako v'ish o'ein mechash botav v'yashu el Hashem v'gomer. For so does Scripture state, let the wicked abandon his path and the sinful his thoughts and return to God. Uparashit atvim kativ v'shavat ad Hashem alakicha Ushmiat Bikolo Wigomer Bikolivavcha Wigomer. In the Torah portion of Nitzavim, it is likewise written, You shall return unto the Lord your God and hearken to his voice with all your heart. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Eloki Esa Wigomer Hashavano Hashem Alicha Wigomer. So also return, O Israel, unto the Lord your God. And elsewhere bring us back, O Lord, unto you. Repentance then entails returning to God, performing his mitzvot, and refraining from sin. Willo kadad ha'amon shehata shuva ha'yohata anit. This differs from the popular conception that the repentance is synonymous with fasting on account of one's sins. Le'afilu mishavar al karitot umitot bayitin yishegamar Paparato Ayo Ayadi Sorim. Even in the case of sins punishable by excision or execution, karet is the Hebrew word, where atonement is made complete by suffering, as previously quoted from the Baraita in Yoma. Ayinu shehakadosh baruch hu mevio alav yesorim. This means that it is God who brings suffering upon the sinner in order to complete his atonement. And I am adding, this statement is being made to the religious community. God never brings suffering on a person due to his sins. He allows the effects of suffering to manifest in the person's life in order to cause him to return to Hashem. Bekamoshikatu pakadati bishavat wigomer. Upakati vita. As the verse clearly specifies, with a rod shall I remember their sin. Uhainu kishta shuvato ritzavyao lipanav yitavaris. Shuvo el Hashem,
Kalevo Vanasho Meahava. That is to say, when Hashem finds his repentance acceptable, as he returns to him with all his heart and soul out of love. Azai biata ruta dilkata wikamaim hafnim wikomer ita ruta deli ala the orar hai hava beheser Hashem lemerak ono beyasorim v'olam hazeh. Then following the initiative undertaken from below, and as water reflects the countenance, there is an awakening above, arousing Hashem's love and kindness to scour his skin and entirely cleanse him of it through affliction in this world. Kamoshekatu ki et asher yahava Hashem yokayach. In the spirit of the verse, for he whom the Lord loves, he chastises. This is something quite different from any fasts or afflictions that an individual undertakes himself. Ulkan lo hazakiru haramavim vahasamog shom dhanit kalal mitzvot atashuva afakaritot umitot baitin. Of fasting is related to the mitzvah of repentance, even in the case of sins punishable by karet, by excision or capital punishment. Fasting is not required even with regard to those sins whose atonement is completed through suffering. I am adding, in my opinion, this is because fasting is insufficient to exercise the sin due to the suffering of the fasting. It is just not sufficient. It requires death, not fasting. Of course, we need to determine which sin this is. In performing teshuvah, Raka vidiyu uvakashi bechilakim oshikatu v'torah v'hatodu et hatatem v'gomer. They cite only confessing verbally and requesting forgiveness as the Torah prescribes. They shall confess their sin. Why are confession and requesting forgiveness indeed part of repentance? Every sin consists of a body and a soul. The actual misdeed itself is the body of the sin, and the bodily pleasure and ensuing desire with which it was committed are its soul. Repentance involves eliminating both these elements. The soul of the sin is eradicated by the earnest regret of the individual, who is mortified and pained by his past. Inasmuch as pain is the opposite of pleasure, it negates the pleasure which had either aroused his desire to sin and thereby obliterates the soul of the sin. But the body of the sin also needs to be nullified. Simply refraining from further transgression lacks the action that would negate the sinful act itself, its body. This is accomplished through verbal confession, for verbalization is also considered to be an action. At any rate, verbal confession is thus a component of repentance, while fasting is not.
Uma shikatu b'yoel shuvu adi b'kol b'levavechem u'tzom u'faki goy. As to what we find in the book of Yoel, return to me with all your hearts and with fasting and weeping, which would seem to indicate that fasting is in fact part of return and repentance. Ainu livatal hagar zera shenagi zera lemarik on hador al yedi yisorim biarva. This was to nullify something which relates to the future, while repentance involves forsaking the path, the past. The heavenly decree that had been issued to expunge the sin of the generation through the affliction of locusts, it was not part of the act of repentance. Vzehu hatam b'kol ta'aniyot shema ta'anim al kol tera shelo teva al hatzavor. This is the rationale for all fasts undertaken for any trouble threatening the community, their purpose being to avert the impending harsh edict. Vekamo shekatu b'magalat yister. But as in the book of Esther, where we find that the queen asked that a fast be proclaimed in order to nullify the Haman's evil decree. Uma shekatu b'sefer ha-moser uva-rashim sefer ha-rukach b'sefer ha-sidim b'reva ta'aniyot b'sigufim li'ovar al-karitot umitot beit din. Now, the classic Musar works, particularly the Rokeach and the Sefer Hasadim, specify numerous fasts and mortifications for sins punishable by karet and execution. Wakein lemotzi o zera levata la shafiyu mita bedi shemayim kemoshe kativ tu Torah v'gibi ayar ayonan. Likewise, numerous fasts are prescribed for the wasteful emission of semen, a sin punishable by death by divine agency, as the Torah recounts of Er and Onan. I am adding, up to this generation, everyone dies except for a few souls. Thus, the idea of wasting seed is cleansed through death. If one does teshuvah for this sin, will they not die? Bedinin kashivi kirato leananze. And a sin whose retribution is identical in this respect to that of sins punishable by karet, excision, and hence the numerous fasts are prescribed. All this might lead us to assume that the purpose of fasts is suffering, this being the manner through which atonement is brought to completion by those who are guilty of sins punishable by excision of karet. But it has been previously stated that the suffering which completes atonement is specifically that which comes from above, and not man-made suffering, incurred through fasting and the like. The Alter Rebbe answers this seeming contradiction by stating, Hainu kadilin etzel meonish liyosorim shel mealach asle shalom. Those above prescribed fasts and mortifications are intended to avert the punishment of suffering at the hand of heaven, Hashem, God forbid. Note of the Rebbe, this too relates to the future, unlike repentance, which relates to the past. This means that if, God forbid, the punishment of suffering has been decreed upon an individual, he is able to exempt himself from it through these self-imposed fasts. Wagam kadil zairaz vulamed har geamor kaparat nasho. Another reason for these fasts is to urge on and expedite the conclusion of his soul's atonement. Wagam oli oinu sheva el Hashem. And perhaps he is not returning to God with all his heart and soul, out of love, but only out of fear. Such a penitent would not enjoy the divine reaction that comes as water reflects the countenance, and would not be granted the completion of his atonement through suffering. Accordingly, he might undertake these fasts in order to secure this alone. Essentially, however, the suffering that brings about complete atonement for those guilty of sins punishable by karet, excision, and death by divine agency is not meant to be self-inflicted, but rather heaven forfend, imposed from above. That is the end of the chapter 1 of the letter of Teshuvah. It's also the end of our class, as we are almost out of time. As the summary, what this section has said to us, has taught us, is that fasting is dealing with future events that come from Hashem, while Teshuvah is dealing with past events. And this is an important concept to keep in mind. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting yourself, I will speak of the classes coming up. At 3 o'clock, we will do our advanced Teshuvah class, continuing. Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., all times mentioned are West Coast times. At 7 a.m., we will have our Slichot class. At 4:30, Monday evening, afternoon, we will have a deep Zohar class, continuing our study of the Parashah of Lech Lecha. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a class on the writings of the Ari. Are there any questions? I bid you all Shalom Gadol, and a good week, Shavua Tov, a week of peace, a week of fulfilling your peace, and arriving at the stage of serenity as we approach Rosh Hashanah in 2 weeks. Time is short. Time is chesed. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Longado, thank you.